Hi, everybody. Welcome to our Saturday podcast, RJ Bell in a second. But first, let's go to my Blazing Five picks.
That's a hot one.
Let's blaze it up.
Fire it up.
It's Collins Blazing Five. Ravens at Bills.
Like Baltimore, I love them minus six. Listen, Lamar Jackson, I don't care it's in Buffalo. He has 14 touchdowns and three picks on the road this year. He's been a great road quarterback. Baltimore is a great early team. 151-79 edge in the first half. What does that mean? That Josh Allen is going to be playing from behind. He's still young. He is still, in terms of accuracy, hit and miss. Buffalo's coming off their biggest win of the decade against the Dallas Cowboys, a young team that pulls back. Baltimore is a handful, and Baltimore won last week, but did not think it played particularly well. So they're still fighting for that number one seed. I like the Ravens to win comfortably 30-20.
Bengals at Browns.
This number's fluctuating. It's a good number, though, if you're a bettor. I'll take the Browns -7.5. You can get it -7 in some places. First of all, Freddie Kitchens gets exposed when he faces a Pete Carroll or a Sean McVay or a Belichick or a Mike Tomlin. But this week he faces Zach Taylor. There's no big coaching advantage, and there is a huge personnel advantage. Cleveland's got a very good defensive front with or without Myles Garrett. And the Bengals, forget what you saw last week, have a bad O-line. The Browns' defense is top 5 and 6 in many categories, and Freddie Kitchens and the staff are coaching for their lives. Cincinnati's staff is intact. Baker Mayfield's played Cincinnati well before. I'll take the Browns to win 32-23 and cover.
Broncos at Texans.
Love this pick. I'll take Denver +8.5. Again, the Texans come off one of their biggest wins in a decade, beating the Patriots on television. Oh, my God. The Texans are amazing. No, they're not. They're an average team that have a ridiculous wide receiving core and a brilliant young quarterback who makes plays. They look like flag football half the time. But do you trust them? Here's what I trust in this game. The defense, Vic Fangio in Denver. After a lousy start in their last 8 games, they're 4-4, and they're a tough out. They're a tough out. Vic Fangio, by the way, could be coaching for his job here. Their defense is number one in Denver in the red zone, number five pass defense. They force you into field goals instead of touchdowns. That's why I like the number. By the way, Drew Lock's opening start, pretty good, pretty fun. Kid's got an arm. Broncos cover, Texans win. I'll take the points, 27-23.
Chiefs at Patriots.
Rear view mirror, people love New England. I'm going to take Andy Reid, Kansas City, in the points. If you look at Andy Reid and Kansas City against New England in the regular season, they have been money. Won 2 or 3 games, 41 points a game, and the Chiefs are 4-1 on the road this year. New England is a limited offense that cannot win a shootout. We know that. We've seen that. They have to win the way they won against Dallas. If they don't play low-scoring games like the game they played against Philadelphia and Dallas, they can't win right now. And as Lamar Jackson's exciting us and Jimmy Garoppolo so handsome and blah, blah, blah. Anybody looked at Patrick Mahomes' stats? They're pretty good. He's got 108 passer rating, 65% completions, 20 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. This is not a pop gun offense. This is not going to be 17-10. This is going to be in the 20s to high 20s. Kansas City's going to win this game. Take the points, 28-23.
Steelers at Cardinals.
You're going to think I'm nuts on this. I'm going to go Arizona +2.5. Last week, I'm always concerned about NFL teams that are involved in huge emotional games. Pittsburgh was in a wildly emotional game with Cleveland. Pull back. By the way, Mike Tomlin is a road favorite out west. I've seen that before. Don't love him. Since week 8, Pittsburgh can't score. They're 24th, 25th, 26th in every stat that matters offensively. They're on a third quarterback. Since week 8, they're averaging 18 points a game. Kyler Murray. Just every week there's a game you got to throw out. Throw out the Rams game. Throw it out. Kyler Murray's giving you 65% completion percentage as a rookie, 95 passer rating. He's a very good quarterback who had an outlier awful game. This is an Arizona team at home getting points against the Steeler team off a highly emotional win. Pittsburgh's just a one side of the ball football team. Nice young defense. Offer nothing offensively. I'm going with the upset. You'll think I'm nuts. 24-20 Arizona. I'll take the points. All of our odds provided by Fox Bet. So I like the Ravens as favorites, the Browns as favorites, Denver and Kansas City, and Arizona as dogs. All right, everybody. It's time for RJ Bell. Pregame.com at RJ in Vegas is the Twitter account. All right, let's start with Ravens and Bills. Bills with their biggest win, it feels like, in a decade against the Dallas Cowboys. My sense, a little pullback. Baltimore won, but was not happy with their performance. Specifically, Lamar Jackson was not happy with his performance. I think they come out raging, still seeking the number one spot. I'll take the Ravens minus six. What do the wise guys think?
Disagreement here. Let's agree the Ravens have had an amazing run, though they didn't cover against San Fran. The case could be made the weather slowed this team down. Prior to that, they had five straight covers, and it was by 20-plus points in those games on average. So amazing. And I agree with you. Lamar being focused even after a win speaks very well of him long-term and in this game. To me, it's about the truth of the Bills. Entering last week against Dallas, we thought they were one of the worst, most overrated 8-3 teams we had ever seen. They looked mighty good against Dallas. Now, listen, we're here now with the benefit of seeing Dallas lose against Chicago.
Yeah, and my question is, I don't think Dallas is very good.
Yeah, so perhaps. So the one thing that really slams it against you, Colin, is what do you need on defense to stop Lamar? The first thought, the level one might be, oh, rush defense. Well, Buffalo's rush defense is not that good. So you might think, oh, positive for Lamar and the Ravens. No. I think with Lamar specifically, you need athletic, fast linebackers. That's what the Bills have. I expect McDermott to do a good job getting this defense ready. Disagreement on your Ravens pick.
Okay, I'm going to take Broncos plus 8.5 against Houston. So, again, the Texans come off a massive win, one of their bigger wins in a decade. I think this is still, even in their win over New England, they were outgained. So Houston has a little flag football component. Between Deshaun and those receivers, they can be outplayed and win. But it doesn't hide the truth. Denver, over the last 2 months, has been a very tough out. This is 8.5 points. I think the Texans are a deeply flawed team that big plays mask what they truly are. I'll take the points here. What do the wise guys think?
You're betting against Tunzel or that left tackle? I can't believe it. Agreement. This is classic wise guy stuff. You got everyone watching Houston look so good, and now they're at a premium. They're expensive. And then you've got Denver that even when they win ugly, and they win with defense. The D is legit for Denver. Last eight games, six of them, they've held the opponent to 20 points or less. And I love fading Houston off that big win. By the way, you could look at that big win by Houston two ways. One, you could say, yeah, they were outgained in the game. On the other hand, you could say, really, they were up 28-9. And there was some late garbage touchdowns by the Pats. So there's always an angle with the NFL games. But I think unequivocally, this is a Houston team not used to that level of win. How are they going to respond? They might be flat. Here's my only concern with Denver. Last point on the game. Drew Locke had his first start. He won. Now, to some degree, the Chargers should have won that game. But that's what the Chargers just tend to do. But let's look at the trend line. What did we see with Minshew? What did we see with a number of these starters, Allen for Carolina? They start out okay, maybe better than okay. Then the defenses figure out what they're doing, and they shut them down. Well, Drew Locke's second half, it usually doesn't happen in just one game. He had 11 yards passing in the second half last week. Was that an example that they were able to figure him out at halftime? If so, wouldn't Houston do the same thing this week? So that concerns me a little. Still, though, agreement on the Broncos.
I'm going to take Arizona plus 2.5 against Pittsburgh. First of all, I don't think Pittsburgh's a very good team. They just can't get into the end zone. And Arizona was humiliated last week. And you know my rule. Teams that are humiliated that have capable quarterbacks come back and at least play really well the following week. I thought Pittsburgh's coming off a win, but a highly emotional win. And they're on their third quarterback, Duck Hodges. He's a very limited guy. Here's the other thing I'll throw out. And I know people freak out when I take Arizona, but I've been on them this year. At home, off an embarrassing loss, I never trust Mike Tomlin on the road, especially when he's supposed to win. I like him at home. I like him in certain spots. So I'm going to take Arizona +2.5. What do the wise guys think?
Agreement here. Classic wise guy play. How did Arizona look? Horrible. How did Pittsburgh look? Biggest win of the year. Then we want to flip it now because Pittsburgh does tend. And let's give Tomlin credit. As a Steelers fan, where was this Tomlin at when they were one of the four best teams in the league is my question, because he was so conservative in those games. Here, he's like a riverboat gambler type, and it's doing so well for the team. But boy, you mentioned it. Pittsburgh as a road favorite under Tomlin, his whole career, 40% against the spread. 25 winners, 38 losers against the spread. I'll tell you this, Colin. I gave you credit last week for being ahead on Arizona. Maybe we were ahead of ourselves. Not only did they lose that game off a bye, they were outgained 549 yards to 198. What did you think of that game?
Well, it's one of those, there's about one every other week. It's the unexplainable game. It's how can the Jets beat Dallas and then get beat by Cincinnati? There's a game every couple of weekends I can't explain. Rams still fighting for a playoff spot. McVay, totally different class of coach than Kingsbury. I've never seen Kyler Murray look like that, college or pro, high school. It's an unexplainable game. Atlanta thrashing the Saints. How do you explain that? Cleveland dominating Baltimore. How do I explain that? Sometimes you just put the tape away. It's the NFL. Stuff happens.
Yeah, I agree. I'd rather it be flipped that Arizona had a great game. But all that said, I agree with you about the one-offs, and you're going to get agreement on this game with Arizona.
I'll take Kansas City +3. First of all, a lot of the New England stuff is history. They've been so great at home. This has become an incredibly predictable offense to defend. Romeo Crennel figured it out. Double Edelman, force them to throw it over the top. They can't. They don't have Josh Gordon from last year. They don't have Gronk. This is a pop gun offense with no vertical dimension and very little tight end dimension. This is also an offensive line that's Brady's worst in over a decade. I think a lot of these pass stats don't matter. I'm taking a healthier team, explosive, better on the offensive front, better with skilled people. I'm going to take the points with Kansas City to win straight out and forget the history there in Foxborough.
Now, is this the Kansas City that was out of your top 10 recently?
Yes, but I have evolved and now I like them.
That was a quick evolution. I can't lie. Disagreement here. Now, listen, there's going to be wise guys on both sides of this game. I know most of them are on the Pat side, but it really is a battle between trends versus the teams today. Let's talk trends, though. You said, well, Crennel did this, that, and the other. Well, in the NFL, off a loss, that means that the other team that you played last week, your opponent did mighty well. They must have figured something out. How does Belichick respond to that? So you go back to 2002. He's 41-21 against the spread off a loss. That is literally nearly 67%. Think about that a second. Yeah. It's stunning. And why? Because Belichick knows the next chess move always. By the way, we uncovered this exclusively. Two straight non-covers, because remember, they didn't cover the week before. Patriots, if you go way back, this goes way back to Belichick's entire time, 17-5 against the spread when they don't cover two in a row. And this is amazing. New England has won 21 straight games at home, and only one of those has been less than 3 points. Oh, by the way, it was Kansas, or less than four. It was Kansas City, 43-40. So imagine that, Colin. You're taking a number here, +3, in which 20 out of 21 games, the Patriots have exceeded that win margin in this venue. So it has to be about the teams. And I tend to agree with you. I think Kansas City is a smidge better. What I find interesting, and maybe we'll leave this for the audience to think about, the Pats' offense is obviously worse than we thought, but their defense is better than we thought. If we looked at that in net, what do you think is the bigger adjustment? The upgrade from New England's defense from what you expected entering the year, or the downgrade on the offense?
Well, I think that the downgrade in the offense has been, we knew it was an issue. It's been much worse than I thought. So I can't say anything with New England shocked me. I really can't. They are exactly what I thought they would be, which is well-coached, smartly quarterbacked, and completely limited on offense.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're probably more limited on offense than I thought, but I think their D is better than we thought. I think net-net, they're about the team we thought they were. And oh, by the way, that was the team that was the favorite to win the Super Bowl. Disagreement on your Kansas City?
Those are the four games I like. It's a very Spartan week for me that there weren't a lot of games I loved on the board. I did love the Ravens against Baltimore. I loved Denver in the points, Kansas City in the points, and Arizona in the points. I'm going to go with desperation. I'm going to take the Cleveland Browns against Cincinnati. Now, what is the current number in Las Vegas, RJ?
You know, I'll pull up the why don't you give your analysis, okay, and I'll pull up the fresh number.
I think this has a chance to be a blowout. First of all, Baker Mayfield was very good last year against this personnel and this scheme. Freddie Kitchens and his staff are coaching for their job. Now, they were coaching for their job last week, but Mike Tomlin's a coaching deficit. I think there's a massive personnel edge for Cleveland. I don't think there's a coaching deficit against Zach Taylor. Now, again, Cincinnati looked really good against the highly inconsistent New York Jets. What do I take from that? The Bengals have a very good defensive front. The Jets' O-line is a mess and an injury-riddled mess. I think Cleveland is even here in coaching. I think Cleveland has a personnel edge. I think they have a desperation edge. So I'm going to take the Browns and swallow points.
Yeah, right now it's down to 7.
Yeah, so I got to be honest with you. I can swallow that. Listen, I just don't want to take too much from the Jets. Hell, the Jets didn't even get into the red zone. It was just one of those games you look at and you go, that didn't make any sense. So I'm going to take Cleveland, swallow the 7.
All right, well, I hate that you're getting the better number here, but the Bengals are the sharper side here. Though, again, it's all about numbers. At 7, you might see some sharp action on the Browns. Here's the thing about the Browns. One, I heard on this really good show on FSR, I think it's called The Herd, that Freddie Kitchens was already fired. He just didn't know it yet.
Well, he is, but he doesn't know it, and sometimes ignorance is bliss.
Ah, that's a good one there. Now, what's fascinating is, think about this a second. Cleveland was 2.5-point favorites at Pittsburgh. Now, we know if you flip home fields, that would be a 6-point flip. Yes. So Cleveland would have been 8.5 at home against Pittsburgh. Right. Now they're 7 at home against the Bengals. How would you compare the Bengals and the Steelers? Pittsburgh's way better, right? Obviously. So to me, it just shows you there's been a massive adjustment away from the Browns here. Has it been too much? Maybe. But I believe they've had their dream crusher. We've coined that phrase at pregame. It means the game after a team lost their season goal. Whatever your season goal is, so for the Browns, it was to make the playoffs. Effectively, they've lost that goal when they lost to Pittsburgh. How does a team respond to that? Even good teams, well-coached teams, usually respond with a flat performance right after their dreams have been crushed. I don't really trust Baker Mayfield, who's talking about how tough he is all of a sudden now, to bounce back from that dream crusher. Disagreement with you and Baker Mayfield.
All right, my bonus pick, and again, I barely like the Browns on this. I think it's a tough week for lines. There's not much I liked. I would probably take the Jets -5.5 because I think, with the exception of the Cincinnati game, I liked how they were playing offensively, and I thought Darnold found a groove. Even last week, by the way, against Cincinnati, he wasn't bad. No interceptions, multiple drops, terrible protection. I think Darnold back at home. Again, this team's playing for something. There's a lot of young players on this team. There's pride. Gase is here. They're putting stuff on film. I'd swallow the 5.5. What would the wise guy say?
Disagreement here. And this is really the anatomy of handicapping bad teams at the end of the season. And let's just admit it. It is more art than science. Sometimes it's a judgment call. So let's look at the Jets. On one hand, you could say, man, bad season, and maybe one of the worst, if not the worst game, getting dominated against the Bengals. So you might think this team's depressed. This team's going to be flat. On the other hand, you could say this might be the redemption role of all redemption roles. What do I mean by that? Well, they just lost, as we said, to the winless Bengals, the Jets did, and they have revenge when Miami, who was winless, beat them the first time they played. So in a weird way, you could make the case the Jets are going to be hyper motivated. I'm not sure what the answer is. I know this Jets team, this coaching staff with Gase, I don't love in general, so I don't trust them motivationally. On the other hand, you could say Miami, oh, they're going to be flat. They're not going to make the playoffs. They've exceeded expectations already. They were supposed to be the number one pick. They're not. And they just had such a nice win last week. Or do you think, wait a minute, this team got momentum. They've covered 6 of 8. There's talk of coach of the year even for their coach, which is amazing. They're going to keep the momentum going. I don't think there's clear answers on this. I trust Miami more than I trust the Jets, and I trust getting the points when there's two bad teams. So disagreement on your Jets, I like Miami.
All right, RJ, thanks. Have a great week.
Thank you.